John chapter 10, sorry. John chapter 10, as we come to this end of this marvelous portion of Scripture, we're in a major transition right now, and that's what I wanted to do tonight. That's why last week I stopped precisely where I did, and because most of the time you'll look at the next few verses and you'll kind of like, boom, done. I don't see anything that jumped out at me, so I'm going to carry on. And we go and learn about the resurrection of Lazarus and Jesus calling himself, he is the resurrection. And in the light of our what I'm going to do tonight, I wanted to back up a little bit, look at verse 30. And let's look at verse 30 to the end of the chapter to follow along as I read. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus had answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are God. If he called them God, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the work of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand, and he went away again beyond the Jordan, to the place where John was baptizing at first. There he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight as we come to your word, hearing and bearing witness to the ministry of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's ministry is indicative of ours, that we are to bear witness to Christ. We are ambassadors for the gospel and for Jesus Christ. And that we are to give him the truth, be faithful in season and out of season, no matter how those who hear our words may respond. But Lord, help us to also, as we come to tonight, so we can have uncluttered ears, that we would confess our sins and come clean in the hearing of your word, and likewise with me in the preaching of it. So Father, we pray, though sometimes this is treated as an insignificant passage, it is a transitional passage, it speaks much of our understanding to what's happening here, what's going on, and the whole purpose for which John wrote his marvelous gospel. So, Father, we ask that you be with us, guide us, and lead us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had you open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It doesn't seem like too long ago that we began our study of the gospel, and yet it's been a while. Pretty soon, after a while, week goes into month and goes into even years. I checked, and we started this series almost 2 years ago in March of 22. But we find ourselves at the end of chapter 10, which is the halfway point of the book. And that is true when you go from the textual aspect of the book. When you go from the textual aspect, that's true. However, in the historical and the chronological aspect, we are almost to the end. We are almost to the very end of our Lord's life and ministry. In fact, at this point, we're approximately a little over 3 months away. And yet we've already covered since it, you know, pre-incarnation and everything in between, and almost his entire public ministry. Because half of the gospel is devoted to events that have taken place and that revealed his work and his ministry, just like as we read, if you don't believe in what I say, then believe in the works that I do. And yet, from this point on, we'll be devoted to events that almost covers the last week of his life. Chapter 10 ends with Jesus leaving Jerusalem for approximately 3 months. When he comes back in chapter 11, he comes back to Bethany near Jerusalem and raises Lazarus from the dead. Then in chapter 12, he enters into Jerusalem. That is the beginning of the Passion Week. Then in John chapter 13 through 16, it is all taken up in one night in the upper room. Then we go to that majestic chapter in John 17 of his high priestly prayer to his Father. And then in chapter 18 in John, we see him get arrested. Chapter 19 and 20, he died and raised from the dead. And in chapter 21, he sends out his disciples into the world with the gospel. And this is when we learn of Peter's recovery. So while we are halfway through the book, chronologically, as John lays it out, we are just a few months from the end. And all that to say this, that at the beginning of John chapter 11, right after this, he's going to retire for a while. His public ministry pretty much comes to an end here. He's dealing with individuals. He's dealing with people. There will be people around him, but he's not going into the flock. The next time he enters into Jerusalem, it's to the cross. But every other time with to preach and to teach and to declare who he was and to give the message. Do we have to see the transition of this book at this point? This book started, obviously, way back in John chapter 1 with John the Baptist introducing Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then Jesus' baptism, and then Jesus beginning his public ministry calling his disciples. What a great journey had been. We saw miracles that he did that demonstrated his deity. Words that he said was he claimed to be God, the great I am. Now we remember that the purpose of John was not given to us to give us every little detail of his life. The purpose of John, clearly, in fact, John even said at the end of 20, verse 30, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So we have here is a short look in this book of the life of Christ. But it is a specific purpose of John, which is recorded in the very next verse that I just read to you. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That is the thrust, that is the theme, that is the driving force of every miracle, every teaching, with the different to affirm his deity, his divine mission, and that he would to declare himself and to be seen and as the Christ, the Messiah, and the Son of God. John MacArthur said this, quote, there is plenty here in the Gospel of John to prove Jesus is the Messiah, the long and awaited anointed King that God will send, the Redeemer. There is enough here to know that he is God in human flesh. There is enough here to believe that by believing it, have eternal life. That is John's purpose. And so in point number one, that I call your attention to verse 39. Therefore, they thought again to seize him, and he escaped out of their hand. I touched on it last week a little bit, but I wanted to use this as a link to tie these two together. Therefore, they sought to seize him. Now, what appeared to be now, instead of in verse 31, when they wanted to stone him, now they want to seize him and try to arrest him. All righty, I did simply have a note. Here we have a small improvement. They wanted to arrest him instead of stoning him, but they wanted to, obviously we know later on, they want to arrest him with the intent to kill him. So, this is where we at. Here's something to appreciate the intensity of which they were seeking him. The word sought is the word in the Greek that speaks of a continuous action. They were constantly and continuously and consistently seeking and looking and trying to find him so they can get him and seize him. They sought and looked and pursued. Now, John doesn't record how they go about that and how they try to do that. And yet, when you look at the whole scheme of things, you and I both know that instead of seeking him to seize him, they should be listening to him and falling on their knees and repenting of their sin. That was his whole mission that he was speaking to them. If you don't believe me, because they started with the conversation, will you finally tell it once and for all what you're really hearing? It's almost like, are you kidding me? I've been telling you then, clear back in John chapter 5, 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, chronologically according to the Gospel of John. I've been telling you all along, so we have to kind of, he goes again, and then he said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. So instead of believing in him and coming to him and repenting and believing in him, they wanted to arrest him. And yet God, in a miraculous way, the text simply says this, but he escaped out of their hand. Somehow, in some way, Jesus was elusive to being captured by them. And again, we do not know how he did it, but that he did. He escaped. We all know from the text along the way, they have wanted to catch him many a time and couldn't because his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. And that's exactly true. But you can, technically you can say, after this part, and as we move into chapter 11, in fact, after we go into chapter 11, when he's heading to Bethany near Jerusalem, he is heading to Jerusalem and to the hour for which he came into this world. And so we see, though his hour had not come, his time of going forward is very, very soon. Point number two, look at verse 40. Here's what he does when he gets away. He went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. And there he stayed. Jesus went away from Jerusalem to the east side of Jordan, which is known as the Transjordan. It was a long journey. When whatever you do, don't think and perceive that this withdrawal from the crowd, from the people, or being pursued as an element of fear. We know for a fact that our Lord is ready to die, and in time he would die for our salvation. But he would die only at the precise time that the Father had purpose for his glory. That we need to see and understand. Where did he go? He went to East Jordan, Transjordan, on the other side. And it said in the text where John was baptizing at first. Now, some people will read that real quickly and not pay attention to where it is chronologically. John at this point has already been dead a year and a half. John is off the scene. What he's doing, he's going back to where it all started, his public ministry, where probably to the baptismal area and the Jordan where he got baptized, or certainly where John's ministry would pretty influential and profound. So much so that even in the text that speak to the fact that once they have seen Christ with their own eyes and heard Christ with their own ears, they have come to realize that what John said about this man is true. But John, it passed away. That was recorded in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. Here, he had gone to where it all started, where John the Baptist was the forerunner ministering and revealing Jesus as the Messiah. Early in the book, we read of John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus. John 1, verse 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Then in the same chapter later on, as his public ministry took off, it recorded in John 1, 19 through 23, where there was a delegation from the religious leaders sent to ask and interrogate John, what's your purpose, what's your goal, and who are you? And it went like this. And now this is the testimony of John. Notice John the Apostle's language about John the Baptist. This is his testimony. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. How clear can you get it? But yet his ministry was powerful. His ministry was influential that it warranted to send a delegation to check it out. Went on to say, and they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Well, hello, he just told you. But, you know, people don't listen to truth. So he said, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And what I loved about that, John said, I'm nothing but a voice. It's not me, not who I am. I'm a voice to call attention to someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. And I've always been, when I started the series years ago on the life and times of Jesus Christ and went through all four Gospels in a chronological fashion, I was stunned at how much information the early stages of the chronology of the Gospel was designated for John the Baptist. The man had a profound ministry. Nothing fancy, nothing impressive other than the fact that he was faithful to his calling. And his calling was one thing, to bear witness of Christ. To bear witness of Christ. Okay? John the Apostle, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anything in the Gospel of John of what John the Baptist did. But you're going to hear, when he does speak of John the Baptist, of his witnessing to Christ and who he is, and that I am not the Christ. I am come to bear witness of Christ. And so he did record the Baptist witness and testimony of who Jesus was. Again, look at verse 40. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. Not is baptizing, but was. He'd gone off the scene. This is where he was in the early days. And here noted in the final phrase, and there he stayed. Here our Lord stayed. It's hard to be dogmatic, but it's approximately 2 to 3 months before heading to raise Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. In point number 3, in verse 41 and 2, it says this, then many came to him and said, John performed no sign. But all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. Here, the first thing I want you to notice is the fact that these people said, hey, John didn't do any miracle. He didn't wow it with any miracle, whether it's feeding hundreds or thousands or raising the dead or healing the sick or whatever. He did no miracle. His ministry and function was to bear witness to who Christ is, and that was what he did. He would bear witness to who Christ is, and that he has come. He has come. I'm the forerunner. That's why I can tell you he's here. He's here. Probably one of the greatest transitional aspects of John's influence, popularity, and ministry when handed over to Christ is found in John chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. You yourself bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him or ahead of him. He who had the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is fulfilled. Here he said, I am not the bridegroom. I am the friend. I'm the one who set things up and get things ready for this occasion where the bride and the bridegroom can meet together. And the beautiful words were next. He must increase. I must decrease. In essence, he was saying, my ministry's done. I'm pointing you to the bridegroom. I'm just his friend. Other places talked about him being a forerunner, witnessing, pointing, behold the Lamb of God. Constantly pointing. You know as well as I do, with that kind of success that he had, it would have been very easy to get intoxicated with that success and become proudful and try to make it a ministry unto yourself. But he never lost his way. He remembered and he knew and he faithfully carried out his calling, his function, his ministry to the end. That's why they were saying there was none greater than him. None greater. Fidelity, faithful to the end. Boy, did he ever hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He lost his life because he dared hold up God's standard to adultery, to sin. And, of course, sinners don't like being exposed, so they try to, rather than change and repent, they want to silence the mouth that makes them get convicted. Then it said, but all the things that John spoke about this man. Don't you wish you have some kind of record besides the few things we have? What did he say? That after some time, about two and a half years later, that people are still remembering what John said. There's still some details and precision in their mind that they were able to take what John taught them and put it through the grid work of who this man they're just listening to who just arrived over there. And they said, my goodness, the thing that John spoke about this man was true. Well, you and I both know. Well, of course, he is the truth. He doesn't know how to tell anything but the truth. And he told the truth perfectly, lovingly, powerfully. And yet, John simply gave them the truth about who he was, and they heard and saw and came to the same exact conclusion. And then because of that, verse 42, great word, great encouragement, and many believed in him there. Very important thing there. The fact that they hadn't gotten saved yet. They didn't get saved until they actually saw him when he was there. Leon Moore, the great commentator, said this. Possibly the process that these people came to Christ the same way that those that the Samaritan woman witnessed to her people in town. Let me read. Quote, a process similar to that in Samaria, where the woman brought people to Jesus, but they believed not because of her words, but because they heard him themselves. So here John's testimony led people to seek out Jesus, but faith came because of their contact with the Lord. They believed not at home, reflecting on what John had said, but there where Jesus was, end quote. Beloved, we can't control how people are going to respond, but we have a responsibility to give it. We have the responsibility to be faithful, and we have the responsibility to be clear. We don't want to witness without prayer behind it. We don't want to witness with a life that contradicts it. That doesn't mean, well, I got to wait until I'm perfect to witness. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying that don't be presumptuous that you can be live any way you jolly want and that you're going to be a major instrument in God's hand. He uses sanctified vessels, people who are set apart to him, who live accordingly to him. Not perfectly, but ever progressing, ever growing in likeness to Christ and in the fruit of the Spirit. But nevertheless, in these few verses, we have a transition here. We're about to enter, when we get into the next portion in chapter 11, we will be at, it will be about 3 months later from between verse 42 of chapter 10 to verse 1 of chapter 11. Some time has lapsed. If you take your harmony of the gospel, they'll show you all the events that happened in between before we get to John chapter 11. But nevertheless, here we are. But more than anything, if there's anything we should learn from this, is the fact that John was faithful to bear witness to the end of Christ from the beginning to the end. May we do the same. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John the Baptist. My goodness, what a ministry. What a faithful ministry. So true, so faithful, so loyal to his calling. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to take that to heart tonight and take it seriously in our own calling that we have been called to be witnesses unto Christ. We have been called to be witnesses of the gospel that had the power to save. Lord, we can't control how people respond, but we have a duty to give them the truth. Lord, may no one die around us out of ignorance. May they be fully aware and fully informed with prayer and life backing it up to witness to those around us. May that be our challenge for the new year. May that be the challenge that we would be more bold and courageous and prayerful in being faithful to bear witness to Christ, to share with a world that's getting ever darker, ever farther away in their sin and becoming a slave. They use the term addiction, but your word makes it clear. It is slavery to sin. The sin of their own choosing, the sin of their own choice. Nevertheless, they need Christ, and only the gospel can save. May we be faithful ambassadors representing you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.